dipping this morning. Now, many people turn what could be life-changing moments into a negative situation because of poor choices. How often do we hear statements like, "How did you possibly mess that up?" But we're here this Sunday to look at the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem. It was a day of celebration, and the celebratory spirit was ringing in the air. However, in the midst of the joy and the celebration, we notice that there are some tragic things happening. And we're going to look at some of those tragic things that happened as the Lord came into Jerusalem. First, it was tragic that there were people who knew who Jesus was, who were unwilling to praise Jesus. If you look at Luke chapter 19, verse 39, you read, "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.'" Wow. This was a day of celebration and joy. As Jesus rode in, a large crowd had gathered, according to Matthew 21, verse 8, to give him a rousing welcome. And they were praising him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Luke 19:38 says, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." We see praise arising to the Lord as follows. In Luke 19, verse 37, we read, "The people joyfully praised God in loud voices for the miracles that they had seen." In Matthew 21, it says, "The children praised him in the temple, shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David.'" Even the stones were waiting to praise him, according to Luke 19:40. But in the midst of all that praise, there was a group, largely the religious leaders, who were unwilling to praise the Lord. Not only were they unwilling to praise Jesus, but they also tried to stop the children from doing so. Right now, many of us are struggling with the virus and its repercussions, and we're struggling to praise the Lord this Sunday. But I would like to encourage you to open your heart in praise to the Lord, because Sunday is a day of praise. It is the day of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3 says, "We have received a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Well, what can we be grateful for? My kid's not going to skip a year because he has the ability to learn remotely. I've got to tell you how grateful I am that he's not going to lose an entire year due to this. Most of us have the ability to work from home, and that's a blessing because not all of us do. We can get food and almost everything we need delivered to our front door. And some of us are very excited for that. We have instant access to the internet so that we can continue to meet as a body, even if it is electronically. We have things for which to be grateful. Now, there's a preacher's story about a man who was so discouraged in his ministry that he had decided to quit. However, he felt that it was only right that he go into the church where he had ministered for years one last time to give thanks to God for all that God had done for and through him over the years. Now, as the minister knelt down and gave thanks to God, and he began to count his blessings through the years, his heart and voice were rising up in thanks and praise to God, so much that after a while he was so full of praise that he began to wonder why he'd even thought about quitting. And of course, he didn't. That is the power of praise. Whatever our circumstances, we need to set some time aside to praise the Lord. We are facing some struggles, but some positives are coming out of it. Families are spending more time together. The Bible is being read more. People are seeking God. All of these are blessings. It was tragic that there were people in Jerusalem who still didn't know who Jesus was. Look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 10, where it says, "When Jesus had entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?'" That question remains today. The question for us to consider almost 2,000 years later is, who is Jesus? This was not a matter of interest just for the residents of Jerusalem. It is a question for all of us. Who is Jesus, and why should we pay attention to his teachings? Who is Jesus, and why have so many people put their lives under his authority? The Bible has been handed down from generation to generation and from language to language for 2,000 years. Kingdoms have risen and fallen. Ideologies and philosophies have come and gone. But during all that time, and despite all the other voices, people are still lifting up the name Jesus. Who is this who is able to remain relevant in his teachings and receive reverence from those who hear his voice? Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we should be able to answer that question. He says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." I hope that you have an answer to give. And if you don't, please contact me, because we can study together. It was tragic in Luke chapter 19, verse 45, that the temple had to be cleansed. Jesus was not the only one who knew that what was going on was wrong. He was just the only one who was willing to fix it. The temple was the center of Jewish worship. It had a majestic appearance, and it should have been a precious place for God's people. But as Jesus walked in and looked around in Mark 11:11, what he observed angered him. And according to Matthew 21:12 and Mark 11, the hallowed place of worship had been turned into a marketplace by unscrupulous vendors. He knew that he was going to have to resort to drastic measures to clean up what he called my house of prayer. And of course, he did go into the temple and clean it out. And he compared it to a den of robbers. There are many applications of this story to us, but I'd like to just talk about one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." And because it's so, it's good to ask ourselves whether the temple of the Holy Spirit needs cleansing in any areas. And in fact, today might be a good day to allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and reveal to us anything that needs to be cleansed. Many times when we come before the Lord in prayer, he reveals areas that need his cleansing touch. And while soaps and sanitizers will cleanse our skin, it's the blood of Jesus that can cleanse sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." It was tragic in Luke chapter 19, verse 44, that the people did not recognize God's time. Verse 44 reads, "They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will leave not one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Biblical prophecy was being fulfilled right before their eyes. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11 says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes." And Psalm 118:26 says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you." And that was what the crowd was quoting in Luke 19:38. Many things about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem clearly pointed to him being the Messiah and the King. Some of them include the fact that he rode a donkey, which symbolized royalty. If we go back to 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 33, David is looking to ensure the reign of Solomon. And in verse 33, David says, "Take your Lord's servants with you and have Solomon my son mount my own mule and take him down to Gihon." Jesus also rode a colt. You can find that in Luke 19, verse 30. But Zechariah had already prophesied that back in chapter 9, verse 9, where he says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Cloaks were spread out on the ground, which was a means to pay homage to royalty. And we see that as far back as 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, where Elisha has sent a servant to anoint Jehu as king. And the other officers quickly took off their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. And they blew a trumpet and shouted, "Jehu is king." But sadly, with all the signs around them, the people didn't understand. As a result, in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44, Jesus wept over Jerusalem and referred prophetically to its future destruction. He spoke the painful and prophetic words of Luke 19:42 to 44. "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Is that not the same with mankind today? Are we preparing for his second coming? Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7 says, "Even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons, and the dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord." Do we? I have a modern application of this principle. Right now, we're under a safer at home order here in Florida, with some exceptions for essential services, one of which is religious services. We know that the safest thing to do is to avoid other people. Are we doing that? Are we engaging in the activities we know are most likely to keep us and other people safe? Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." Are we as modern Christians knowledgeable of and following the requirements of the Lord? This Sunday, let's learn from the tragedies of long ago. Let us assure that we will give praise to our Lord. Spend some time with your family today, counting your blessings and thanking God for them. Let's ensure that we will cleanse our temples. Let's ensure that we're able to answer the question, "Who is Jesus?" Let us ensure that we know and understand God's will. Some of you ask, "Wasn't this titled Triumph in Tragedies?" And you say, "Where's the triumph? We talked about four tragedies of that day. Where's the triumph?" Well, 2,000 years after the event, do you notice that we don't call it the tragic entry? Despite the people not understanding and not being prepared, Jesus came, just as it was prophesied. He fulfilled God's role for him. Jesus was triumphant, and he will be again. He's coming back, and we need to be prepared for that. Would you bow with me, please? Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son and paving the way for our lives to be set free through Jesus' death on the cross. We thank you for the journey toward the power of the cross. We give you praise and honor, for your ways are righteous and true. We give you worship, for you are holy and just. We're in awe that your love stands firm forever. We thank you that your ways are greater than our ways. We thank you that you had a plan to redeem us. We thank you that you make all things new. We thank you that your face is toward the righteous, and you hear our prayers and know our hearts. Help us stay strong and true to you. Help us not to follow the voice of the crowds, but to press in close to you, to hear your whispers and seek after you. We praise you and we bless you, Father. Thank you that we are more than conquerors through the gift of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.